from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me today on Market Catalyst is a senior vice president from George F. Young, Matt Walker. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. So we've been we hung out a little bit through the downtown partnership at a Rowdy's game, a Rays game, and you know, every time we talked real estate, you knew a lot.
Like, we're you're involved in the business a lot. Here. Thanks. Yeah.
So George F. Young's over 100 years, just celebrated 100 years in what, 2019?
Yep.
And let's talk a little bit about the firm, kind of what you do, and then we'll get into some of your big projects.
Okay, great. So like you said, George F. Young was founded in 1919, right here in St. Petersburg. It was founded by George Fleming Young, George F. Young himself, and he owned the company until his death in the 50s. And the company was transferred over to the Methodist Church, actually for several years after his death. And the current owner of the Kent family bought the company from the church. And Bill Kent, our current president and CEO, is the son of Louis Kent. So in our 102-year history, we've only had four real presidents, which is a really unique kind of thing about George F. Young. And we're headquartered here in St. Pete. We have offices kind of spread around the Bay Area, one up in Gainesville as well, and one in our Orlando, DeBary area. We provide surveying, civil engineering, subsurface utilities. In our engineering group, we have roadway and traffic engineers, utility engineers, and obviously we do a lot of land development, commercial, retail, residential here in the city of St. Pete.
That's great. And so how far up the stack can you go when you say land development? Assuming a parcel becomes available, how deep do you go into that development stack?
A lot of them we get involved very early on and help out with concept planning and, at least on the ground floor planning. Depending on where it's at in the city, you have different zoning codes that regulate what you can do. And, we'll help with the pre-app process with the city, the interpretation of the zoning codes, get a site plan that can, be taken to market. And at that point, once we've kind of got through the preliminary plans, we'll assist with the design, full design permitting through the city, water management district, all the different regulatory agencies, and then assist all the way through construction and do the permit closeouts at the end. And so we help all over the city. We do a lot here in the downtown center, but we're also doing, quite a bit, just around the periphery as well.
That's great. So, that's a pretty comprehensive knowledge of the city and the permitting and building process that you have to do that. So if I think that's a good place to dig in. So if you have an overview of that, what do you feel the current setup sort of, if there's something that it drives developers to end up at a certain place, and does that cause us to lack anything in St. Pete? Are there any holes we need to fill?
Yeah, so specifically in the downtown center, you'll notice, I guess, a lot of the buildings sort of kind of look the same. And that's, we have a very prescriptive zoning code that requires setbacks over 75 feet, and the max floor plate can be 20,000 square feet. And so, once you'll notice that you have ground level will pretty much go to property corner, and it goes up, it steps back, and then it'll step back again. And so we've kind of got a very prescriptive zoning code that regulates the look and feel of all the buildings, which is why a lot of what we're seeing in downtown, there's obviously demand for multifamily and for condos and apartments, but, the 20,000 square foot floor plate doesn't necessarily work a lot for, the large corporate, office users that may be looking to relocate headquarters or, large operations here. At that point, they would be looking at taking multiple floors. The zoning code really kind of dictates the development, especially that we're seeing in downtown, which lends itself primarily to multifamily.
And when you say prescriptive, then that kind of has limitations on two fronts. One, as you mentioned, with usability for corporate headquarters, but then also aesthetically as well, so that you do get a homogenized look.
Yeah, well, the when it comes to the look, so it's weird. So I sit on the DRC, and so we review a lot of the proposals that come in. And we have this very objective checklist that we go through. Does it meet the FAR? Does it meet the height requirements? Does it meet setbacks? But there's one subjective portion to the code, and that's, does it fit into the character of the neighborhood, which lends itself to some architectural creativity. The architectural standards are written into the code where they have to have, you know, fenestrations or different looks and, you know, different feels. But most of the buildings try to fit in with the surrounding block or buildings right around it. And we typically have a lot of the, you know, Mediterranean type look. So a lot of the buildings kind of look the same. There is a building that we approved at DRC. Tim Clemens with Place, it was the architect on it. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, I guess, or so, that looks completely different than all the rest of the buildings. And it's actually going to be a very unique and attractive building, I think, to the skyline. But there are architectural standards written into the code. But when it comes to materials and look and feel, the architects do have some latitude to play with that.
Yeah. And is the general sentiment, you know, at least at the DRC and then for you personally, that you'd love to see more creativity, or do you find the DRC tends to, you know, are they receptive or where does that sort of play out?
Well, again, by the time it gets to the DRC, it's already gone through several iterations and reviews and conversations with city staff, and they're the developers and the owners and architects responsible for putting in preliminary plans that require renderings and elevations and that sort of stuff. And so by the time it gets to us, it's really too late to sit on that commission and try to re-engineer or reimagine what the look of these buildings would really be. And so I think if you're looking for a different architectural style and feel, the process really has to start, you know, at the inception of the project, which would really come from city staff, or, you know, more relaxed zoning code, which kind of allows for people to get a little bit more creative. But either way, that's really not in the DRC's purview. We don't typically like to get up there and redesign people's projects, you know, at the last minute. So,
you know, one thing you may have a lot of opportunity to help with the design is the TROP. You're participating in one of the proposals.
Yep.
It's a huge thing on so many layers. I'd love to just get your take on the importance of the TROP, what you think it needs to accomplish first and foremost, and, you know, any fears you may have about it not going right.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, we're one of the two finalists for the TROP. We're on the Midtown development team. And it's an incredible opportunity for the city of St. Pete. It's, what, 86 acres, I believe, that of prime real estate right in a downtown center that just doesn't really exist in any other major metropolitan area. And we have an opportunity to do a lot of things there. You know, we have an opportunity to help right some previous wrongs from the history of the city. We have an opportunity to really help make an impact when it comes to affordable housing, which is getting to be a pretty critical, you know, problem here in the city. We have a lot of people who have lived here for maybe generations that are being priced out and being forced out. We have an opportunity to work with community partners such as USF St. Pete or the Innovation District and really bring some high-tech, innovative growth-type industries into the city. I think there's some opportunities there to get creative in that it doesn't necessarily need to be 80 acres of multifamily. It seems that there's been a lot of talk about the number of units from both ours and the Sugar Hill development. But there's really an opportunity to really reimagine that whole space and make it kind of, you know, whatever we wanted it to be. I can't speak for Sugar Hill. I can speak for our Midtown team. And I will say that our team and our group has spent considerable amount of time and energy doing community outreach. They've worked with a lot of the neighborhood groups around the TROP site in particular, some of the business groups around the TROP site in particular. They've spoken with some of the community partners, engaged those individuals as well. And we have a plan that incorporates a lot of the aspects that I feel like the city would want and need. It's difficult, I think, when you have so many community partners that are allowed to provide input that you end up trying to put maybe 1,000 acres worth of stuff into 80 acres worth of available space. So you're not going to ever be able to please everyone, right? And I think if they are either one are selected or if the new mayor, you know, restarts the process, I think either proposal would ultimately be a good thing for the city. I think they're both well thought out, and I think both of the developers that are behind those proposals could execute that project in a manner that would make the city really proud. I really do.
And what's, you know, the general idea is that one group would sort of master plan that whole area. You know, what are the risks, A, to inaction, and B, to going to, you know, dividing that up and having multiple folks developing it?
The risks for inaction really, I think, depends on the race. The lease for Tropicana Field expires or runs out in 2027, I believe. And the construction time frame to design and construct a brand new stadium is several years. I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. So we're coming up to that threshold, that critical threshold of, are we going to keep the Rays in St. Pete or not? And so that's probably, at least in my eyes, the primary, you know, if we don't do anything, that's the primary cause of concern for me. If we don't, the Rays are gone. And that's just personal opinion. That's just what I believe. But, you know, they've made it no secret that Tropicana Field is, in their eyes, not a, you know, major league caliber stadium, and they need a new home. And so whether or not that home is in St. Pete or the Tampa Bay region or even out of the state, I think a lot of it will depend on if we can get our act together and engage them in a positive way that allows them to stay at that property. If we don't, if we punt it, if we kick the can down the road to the next mayor, or if we're just, you know, we kind of sit on our hands, we really run the risk of not being able to design, entitle, permit, construct a stadium that could keep them in town for the future. And so that's probably my answer to the first one is the Rays are probably the biggest impact if we sit tight. You know, I'm just an engineer, right? So I can't speak for the developers. And I'm assuming that their performers and everything are built off of them doing the whole property. So if they split it up, they would obviously need to redo all of their numbers. But from an engineering perspective, there's no real harm in doing that. I think it makes sense that if you're going to go down that route, you do need someone to kind of master plan the entire 86 acres so that you can get infrastructure in place. So, and by that I mean, you know, utilities, your roads, you know, the support network, the Pinellas Trail, for example. And then if you were going to split that up at that point, you've got a framework that the developers can work with, and it's not just a blank canvas. And so, you know, I can't speak for them, but from an engineering perspective, I don't really see any drawbacks other than, you know.
It was sort of just assumed that because of that logic that you needed that master plan for the base layer, yeah, that it would logically just lead to the whole thing being done by sort of one collection of people. Maybe not necessarily the case where if someone master plans the base layer, that there are other avenues or other options for the other pieces of it, the building pieces and the programming pieces of it.
Yeah, I think that absolutely makes sense. Again, the developers may disagree with me, but you know, I'm not the money guy behind everything. But you know, I don't see any reason why if you had, you know, the infrastructure in place that you have now, you have a framework that they have to work within. It would make it,
you know, there's sort of a weird sideways logic that St. Pete's charm is because of, you know, some of the haphazard way it was built, right? And so when you start to engineer, you know, uniform spaces, even though they're beautiful, they're going to be uniform spaces. And so, you know, it's just an interesting idea that's sort of floated around how can we sort of let some of that organic those organic aspects come back in. But so, you know, you've done some amazing projects, and let's talk about a few just so people get a feel for some of the ones that you've been tied into, and if there's, you know, obviously if there's any kind of cool stories or anecdotes from them. But what are the few projects that you've been most proud of for George F. Young over the last few years?
We were the engineer of record for the Toronto Blue Jays spring training stadium and their player complex up in Dunedin. And that was actually a really interesting project in that the day of the last spring training game, they kicked the Blue Jays out and they gutted the entire stadium and renovated and reconstructed the entire stadium and added the pedestrian boardwalk and the bars and a lot of the amenities. And they had to have it open by the following spring training. And so, you know, that was one of the projects that when anything came up, we were there the same day helping figure out solutions to, and we did it. And we got CO'd the week before the spring training game started in 2020. And in hindsight, I didn't realize that Major League Baseball was going to be playing games there. And so, you know, I was the engineer record for that project. So now I can say that I was the engineer record for a Major League Baseball stadium.
And you're also saying you can build a stadium in a year.
Well, that one only had about 8,500 seats and it was open air. That one was a really interesting project just because of the timing aspect of it and how closely we had to work with the city and the contractor and the architect. That one was a lot of fun. Though there's one you can see over your shoulder here that's going up Saltaire. We were the engineer record on that. And that was the old Hilton parking lot. And one of the city sanitary mains, a big 42-inch sanitary pipe, was running right through that parking lot and going out to Albert Witted so it could hit the pump station to go. And had to work with the city and the developer to basically capture that sanitary line and reroute it around the Hilton property. And we ended up running right into the race schedule for the Grand Prix, because the Grand Prix course is right there in front of the Hilton. And we ended up making it happen and got the pavement all completely restored. But there was a couple sleepless weeks in there of whether or not we were going to be able to get that work done. And so that one was a really challenging project, but it was a lot of fun to work on as well. And then, you know, we're working on the Red Apple Tower here at 400. It's got its same set of challenges, but we're really excited to see that one break ground here the next few weeks. And same thing, they're going to be rerouting utilities for a while. And then the tower should start taking shape here first quarter next year or so.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciated the time, appreciated the insights, and rich history, a beloved company in St. Pete, and it's good to know you're keeping an eye on things and making sure none of the buildings are going sideways. So.
We're trying. We're definitely trying.
Matt Walker, George F. Young, thanks for joining me on Market Catalyst.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
From stpetecatalyst.com.